have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
There's nobody like I am looking for Apostle Smith, and I see my brother online. Do you know if you're filling in for him today, or maybe he's just running behind?
I believe he may be running behind. I'm not certain. I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to do another selection, and we'll see then. Let's go.
Okay.
How are you doing today?
I'm grateful. How are you?
I'm great. I can't complain. God is good. But I'm going to do one more selection thereafter.
Okay, and then we'll see. Okay.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Timmy, I don't hear him, and I haven't heard much from him.
Same here. How you doing?
Who's that? That's Bishop Elette.
Yes, that's Bishop Elette.
Hoping that he would be on. Bless you, sir. Okay. How are you? Listen, you be the show host tonight. I'll follow your lead. Wherever you go, that's where we're going.
Well, all right. Amen. Well, let's first say this. Welcome to The Voice. Amen. I am Apostle Irvin Whitlow, and I am standing in currently for the host, who is Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. And Bible talk, a good time of talk. All right? Now, here's what I want to do. Let me first say welcome to some of the panelists who are here tonight. That includes Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. God bless you, sir.
Blessings to you again, my dear friend and brother. I'm just so happy to be here. Don't know where our host is, but we trust and believe, God, that all is well.
Amen. Amen. And certainly we don't want to leave out the wonderful, lovely Dr. Timmy Robinson. God bless you, Dr. Timmy. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How about you today?
Oh, you know what? I'm just grateful that God decided to keep me on the top side covering the grass instead of putting me underneath with the grass covering me.
Oh,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Dirt nap. So you don't have to, you're trying to say you're not taking a dirt nap, huh?
No, I don't do no dirt naps. Those don't work out too good, you know, because, you know, some people don't work on dirt. A lot of people don't wake up until like 100,000 years or something like that. So, you know.
I hear you, my brother.
Yeah. Oh, but we thank God. We thank God.
Yes. Right. Hallelujah.
So here's what I would like to
Amen.
Do. And I know Apostle has been dealing with some good things concerning, you know, having the same anointing as your leader and what you do with it after it has been passed on to you and so on. But while I was away last week, the Lord shared some things with me. And out of those things, there's one thing I want to look at in particular, and then we will pray and we will go from there. It is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I only want to read two verses because there's a lot in those two verses that I want us to try to cover. And we won't take up the whole time tonight. We'll just dialogue for a few. And then, and of course, we'll be led by God as he would have us to go. And then we'll go from there. But I want to deal with these two verses first. I'm going to read them. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll start talking. Amen. Here's what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I want us to talk tonight from the thought, receive us. That's what we're going to talk about, receive us. Bishop-elect, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
I will. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify thine holy name. Thank you for this another day you've kept us, God, from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. And then beyond, your name is worthy to be praised. God, let us down into your storehouse of wealth and wisdom. Help us to download into the hard drive of our spirit the needed and necessary information that would furnish us with the things that we need to be a blessing to those who can hear us under the sound of my voice. I'm calling upon you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. We right now at this moment evict every spirit that is foul, filthy, mind, unfiltered, every spirit that's going to be deceptive, distractive, disturbing, or disruptive. You are not allowed to stay here. We will not give you permission to even be part of this podcast. We're putting you out now. Here is your eviction notice. You were evicted yesterday. We plead the blood against you, and we loose the angels of the Lord to go forth and dispel every force of darkness that may try to come and hinder, block, or stop the progress of this show. God, we ask that you would lay your hands upon Apostle Smith wherever he is. And we ask that you would continue to keep him, God, for whatever his situation may be. You and you alone have the ability to bring it to what it needs to be. And so, God, we place him, this show, and all who take part in it into your charge and care. And we say, have this thine own way. Fill us, God, with whatever is needed and or necessary that we may bless these thine people. For this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we want to talk about receive us. There are certain things that is made clear.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that are made clear in these few words that are here. But prior to these words, you have to understand what led up to these promises. There are things that God has said in the chapters before this. So, for instance, he talks to us about not being ignorant of Satan's devices. He talks to us about of God being yea and amen. He talks to us about going from glory to glory. He talks to us about the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. He talks to us about the suffering in ministry, and he tells us how that we have to denounce the hidden things of darkness. He tells us that that all things work, all things for our sake, and that our light affliction is just for a moment. He tells us even that if this earthly vessel be dissolved, we have another home not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. And he tells us that to be absent from the bodies and present with the Lord. He said that we henceforth know no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. And then he says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And how we are ministers of reconciliation, how God was in Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. He tells us, he goes on and he tells us how that we are to put on the armor of light, the armor of righteousness. And he goes on and he even goes further and talks about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. These are things that he tells us. And he says that you have to come out from among them and be separated and don't touch the unclean thing. And here's what he says. He says, you will be my people and I will be your God. So he says, now having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he says we have to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. First of all, think about this. Cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What does that mean to you, Bishop Elect? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What does that mean to you?
Let's do first things first. I believe those two verses that you read. Hello?
I'm sorry, you couldn't hear me. I'm right here. I had the headset up over the top of my head, and now I got it back down around my lips where you can hear a word I'm speaking. Let's look at first things first. I believe these two passages of scriptures, first and foremost, are literally revealing the heart of Paul. Because Paul, as he begins to speak, let's look at this for a minute, and I'm going to get right to what you're asking me as soon as I get this in here. And this is the Amplified. It says, therefore, since we have these great and wonderful promises, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, completing holiness, living a consecrated life, a life set apart for God's purpose in the fear of God. Let's talk about what he's talking about here. He could say so many different things. The common answer, Apostle, you often hear, to flee fornication. You know, how does it contaminate the body? Well, first and foremost, outside of marriage, it is not permissible, which means that it contaminates the body in the state, putting the body in a sinful state. Not that the body wasn't already in a sinful state, but it was there. But it also talks about cleansing yourself of your body and spirit. Sometimes filthy communication can be, disastrous for a lot of people. You know, and I mean, I'm trying not to go too far into it, but I need to go far enough into it that I make some sense, because I don't want to talk from the top of my head and off the surface, off the cuff. When we talk about cleansing ourselves, God is saying, you do it. How many times have we prayed and we said, Lord, take away anything that is not like thee? Hello, God told you to do it. You know, in your spirit, well, am I right or wrong? Come on, talk to me, both of y'all. Am I right or wrong? We're reading it right here in verse 1 of chapter 7. Cleanse yourself. Why are you praying, God, it got the nerve to say, if there be anything in me. Excuse me, let me help you out again, whoever's listening. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? If there be anything, there is something in you. It's called sin. And you have to get to a point where you just rid yourself of the rudiments of this world. Now, you done started some trouble. Whitlow, we may end up going the whole hour and a half, because now I'm starting to feel a certain kind of way about this. I'm kind of trying to get away from our humanistic philosophy, and I'm talking about believers. I'm going to stop using the word Christians, because Christian is not a right word for us. We are believers. We are not Christians. We are believers. Christians was an insulting word given by the Roman Empire back in the day, and we wear it like it's a badge of honor. We so twisted and mixed up, we don't know right from wrong. When wrong comes, we call it right. And when right comes, we call it wrong. So when he's telling us right here to cleanse ourselves, rid yourself, let it go. Get the spiritual Mr. Clean, top job, whatever else cleaner you can think of. Stop doing the things that you know contaminate the body, and stop practicing the things that contaminate your spirit. Anytime you do something that contaminates your spirit, A, number one, you grieve the Holy Spirit, and number two, you're pushing yourself away from God as of drawing yourself to God. Let me stop right there, because I'm about to take up an offering in just a few short minutes.
Dr. Kimmy, I want to know, what is it that you think on that wise?
Oh, my goodness. I truly believe that we do have Apostle Smith on. Apostle Smith? I think he's having phone problems. But Apostle Smith, what was the question again, my brother?
I was saying, this is what the scripture says. The scripture says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What does that mean?
It means that we have to die ourselves daily, because we're fighting against flesh. Spirit and flesh are fighting daily. And the moment you think you have arrived, that's when that flesh will come. So it's a day-by-day walk for me, because we know there are times I can get out of line, remind myself that I'm no longer my own. I belong to the Lord. So we must die daily, and we must be concentrated in the Word. We must ponder and pray and fast and meditate on the Word of God and continue on this good old race. But we must do it with His help. And so we also do have my friend Chanel Robinson online.
Amen. Amen. Well, here, you said Chanel Robinson is here.
Yeah, she's here. She's in the building.
Man, I wonder if she's going to talk to us tonight. God bless you, Chanel Robinson.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Grateful. Good to hear your voice after so long. So you're listening. What does it mean to you when the Bible says that we ought to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What does that mean to you?
Concur with what Kim said. Basically,
okay.
It's our responsibility, because that's what it says in Scripture, that we should do it. And we have to take accountability of the things that we can do on our own. Like,
okay.
In order for me to kill my flesh with fornication or procrastination or something along those lines, is I have the ability to do that on my own. And I can stop having sex. I can stop watching pornographic movies.
Okay.
I can stop some of those things, but when it's an addiction, I have to ask God to help me.
Okay.
Because I know that it's not me, it's him through me doing this.
Well, you know what?
Can I
have a response to what my dear sister just said? First of all, how you doing, Sister Michelle? Chanel, not Michelle, Chanel. You're right. I got to get it right. Michelle, Chanel. Michelle's my girl. That's my sister-in-law. So you got to excuse me. Well, my future sister-in-law, she said. Anyway, let's move on. But anyway, basically, the bottom line is this, and what you just said, I like what you both said, and you're right. And Dr. Robinson, you said we have to die daily. Paul, I like how he said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And if I want Christ to continue to live in me, the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I must live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave me, when you read the fruits of the Spirit, he gave me self-control as one of the fruits of the Spirit. So when he tells me in this particular chapter and verse to stop giving in to my fleshly appetites, and stop grieving the Holy Spirit with my disobedience, which is really what it is, that's my choice. And if I decide not to do it, don't be surprised if you look up one day and the Spirit of God is gone. It reminds me of Samson, and Samson's a prime example of how we do in our walk with the Lord. We will sit there and dabble and play with sin and with the antics of sin and all that goes with it. And then the minute we see that it's getting too close to where we possibly might get burned, help me, Jesus. You remember the church lady on Saturday Night Live? We pull one of them numbers. Help me, Jesus. And expect God like a gumball machine to suddenly rise up and do something for us. But Samson came across a point when his hair was cut, and I know it was the cutting of his hair, but the minute his hair got cut, his strength went. Spiritually speaking, the minute we go too far in, our strength is taken from us. The enemy has a field day on a lot of us because we fail to realize one little simple thing. We do have control over our situations and circumstances to a degree. You see, a fire can't start if you ain't striking a match. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
No, seriously.
Absolutely. But it does. Here's what I wanna do. I wanna pitch this. As I'm listening to you all and I'm looking at the scripture, note it says cleanse ourselves. I do believe that it is a job that we must do ourselves, but in order for us to cleanse ourselves must mean that we have become contaminated. Watch what the Lord says prior to this. First thing he says is, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And then he says, and not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So the filthiness that is in the flesh and the filthiness that is in the spirit is those things that we have touched, those things we have handled. I believe in James, the fourth chapter, and the eighth verse, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The problem is that many times believers, they want to affiliate with what they used to affiliate with before they got saved. A lot of people get saved, and they don't want to let go of what was getting them in trouble in the first place. So what God is saying, when he's saying cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, he's saying the stuff that contaminated your flesh, the stuff that contaminated your spirit, that's what you have to wash yourself from. Matter of fact, in Isaiah, the first chapter in the 16th verse, it says, wash yourself clean. So therefore, it is up to you. You know, just like if you stink, I don't mean no harm to anybody, but if you stink, you know good and well, you got to get into the washroom, the water closet, run the water, get a bar of soap, get a face cloth, and put it all together and put it on your skin and scrub. And sometimes if you scrub enough, you will see particles of dirt coming off of you. If you sit in a tub, when you get through scrubbing, even when you let the water out, you'll see a ring in the tub. You can go put on a wet shirt and there's some other stuff there. Why? Because you're not fully clean. In order to get fully clean, you got to get zest fully clean. Okay, that's what I heard the commercial say. But what I'm saying is you've got to make it in your mind that I'm getting rid of these things that are in the flesh. I'm getting rid of these things that are in the spirit. Why? The reason I'm getting rid of the stuff that's in the flesh, because first of all, there's no good thing in the flesh. And so if I allow something that is filthy to get into the flesh, it's only going to make the flesh worse. But then if I don't, wait a minute, so you need to tell me your spirit can get dirty? Yes, it can.
Yes.
Because it is allowed in through your eyes and your ears and your nose and your mouth and through your hands that determines what is getting in to your spirit. And here's what Paul says, the Lord says, you need to filter it. He said you need to cleanse it. You need to get this stuff out of it. What you want to say, sir?
No, I was just getting ready to refer to the scripture that talks about the development and the actual progression of sin. It starts with lust, and lust is spiritual and not necessarily physical. You don't lust after something physically. You lust after something spiritual. All right? We use the topic of sex between unmarried people all the time. But it doesn't always have to be sex. It can be money. It can be anything. You can lust after a vehicle. You can lust after a multitude of things, but it's a spiritual dogfight. The enemy, like a fisherman trying to find his favorite fish, will bring the right type of bait to try to lure you in and bring you to a point, and James talks about it, I believe, in that same fourth chapter. He just turns around and begins to lure you in. He gets your attention with it. And did any of you ever notice that when you decide to be 100% with God and go wholeheartedly and go hard for God, that boyfriend that you was just so fond of or that girlfriend you were so in love with her super voluptuous self, looking better than she's ever looked in her life, smelling good with her Chanel number 5, 6, and 7 wearing, and she coming with that nice dress that's hanging just right, and you're just sitting there looking and you're salivating at the mouth, and you're thinking about what it was when y'all was together 20 years ago, and she comes up and rubs against you the wrong way and says, I ain't got nothing to do tonight, you know, just meet me over at this hotel. I'll leave the light on for you. Joe, you could have spent more money, girl. Why are you going more? But nonetheless, you get the picture of what I'm trying to point here. So when we talk about cleansing our spirit, we have to cleanse our spirit because, see, the enemy knows how to fish. He knows how to lure you in. And the Bible turns around and says, lust, when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. the demise of you. It starts in the spirit. There's separation from God, the departation of the Holy Spirit, the separation of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in your life, and then eventually you decay to the point where you physically cease to exist. AIDS patients that have died will tell you in a heartbeat, it was that one night stand was good, but not at the price that I'm paying right now. I got to take all kinds of meds and go to the doctors every 15 minutes, and my, you know, I got this going wrong, and my flesh is falling off of me, and this hurts and that hurts, all because I wanted to have one night. And you singing that Luther Vandross song, if only for one night. Yeah, you got your one night, and the end result of that one night is death. Am I going crazy?
Well, you,
I hope not.
You talk about, yeah. Luther saying if only for one night, but Effie White said one night only. That's all I'm asking you. So, but watch this, though. Because we're going somewhere. So look at this, though. So it says, because of the promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Watch what it says. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Yeah.
Why is it that people don't want to talk about holiness anymore?
You know why? I mean, it's real simple. I preached a message years ago. You may have remembered Apostle Whitlow in a particular church in Bridgeport. You can't straddle the fence. And that's what people are doing.
Uh-huh.
Straddling the fence. One foot in God, one foot in the world, and they think everything is okay. God don't want no part-time lover. It's either all of you, all of me wants all of you. And if you're going to give me half of you, don't give me any of you. That's the bottom line right there.
Well,
you might as well go on. Listen, I'm going to say it like this. Now, I'm going to be real rude right now, and y'all going to have to pray for me, okay? If you're going to have one foot in the world, one foot in God, you might as well go on in the world and go to hell. Yeah, I said it.
Well, I believe the same thing. I believe the same thing. Because it ain't no sense to play with God when you know you
and
really don't want God.
There you go. And it don't make sense for you to be halfway or haphazard or somewhat and then turn around and end up going, you might as well just go on and have the time of your life because you made it. And see, I said this. Oh, Apostle, thank you again. I said this weeks, months, and I think sometime, I don't know how far back, and I don't even remember when I said it, but it just came right back to my mind, and just that quick it left my mind. I should have shut up when I had the chance. There it is. I got it back again. I'm sorry. I'm wound up tonight, y'all. This is a good topic. This is really a good topic. You know, we talk about walking in holiness. We don't want to talk about holiness because we keep straddling the fence. And in straddling the fence, we've said we've made a decision without even actually making a decision. That's what I meant to say. We make a decision without making the decision because when you take half of the world and you take half of God, God pulls his half back, so now you got half of the world. You might as well put the other half of the world in there. Where else are you going? Anytime you make a decision without making a decision, you've made a decision. So if you're going to turn around, no disrespect.
Wait a minute. Anytime you make a decision without making a decision, you've made a decision. Is that what you said?
That's exactly what I just said. I'm going to give you a great example. You want an example for that?
Go ahead.
You want to go downtown. You know the bus comes at 3 o'clock. You're a half a block from catching the bus, and you're trying to decide, do you want to go downtown? The bus is on time. And so 3 o'clock comes, and you're still standing in the same spot trying to decide if you want to go downtown. Okay, I decide I'm going to go downtown. So I guess you're going to walk because the 3 o'clock bus done left. You've made a decision without making a decision. You follow me?
So you made
that make sense?
So I got you.
Yeah.
But
we do that all the time. Go ahead.
So look at this. It says perfecting holiness. Watch this. to share it with another way. I'm going to share it another way so that people have a better understanding. All right?
Okay.
We understand perfecting as to accomplish. Right?
Okay.
What if I was to tell you that to actually perfect holiness, you have to terminate other stuff?
Yes.
In other words, the only way I can perfect holiness is I have to terminate the filth of the flesh and spirit. I have to terminate anything that is moral. I have to terminate anything that is illegal. I have to terminate anything that displeases God. And the thing is, we want to keep certain things alive instead of terminating those things that could get us terminated.
Wow. Now, where are you, Dr. Robinson? Where are the ladies? Because they seem to have they keyed in the background.
You guys are definitely on it, because there are times we do make excuses, but we want to do it, but we don't put in the work. So I concur what was just said. We must do it and trust God that He will give us the strength to do so. Yeah.
Amen. Is Apostle Smith still here? Did you find out if he's still here?
Well, someone with the 203 is still on, but I don't think it's his number.
No, it's probably not him.
Are they unmuted?
Yeah. They're not saying anything.
If we can get them to say something. God bless you. God bless you. We'd like to hear from you. You're unmuted.
Hello.
On this side. Be able to talk to us, please.
All right, let me try something else. Hello? No, I'm sorry, that don't work. Go ahead.
Sometimes they may not want to talk. They may just want to listen.
No, and I think it's one of those situations where they don't want to talk, but we thank God they come on anyway. But the truth, you know, getting back on track here real quick, and brothers and sisters, I will simply say this. God is in control, but God also gives you a level of control. Now you have to operate. God is in control, but God would give you a level of control. It's called self-control. Control yourself.
Yeah.
That's it. Just control yourself.
Yeah. Come on.
You know
why? You know
so
why?
Go ahead.
That's important. That's important because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So He does
give us
a control, and we have to control ourselves. We do have to control ourselves, which means that there may be things that may seem to be appealing to the flesh, things that may be appealing to the flesh. The Bible says that all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are appealing. But what God said is you have to terminate those things that are appealing in order, if you will, to accomplish holiness, in order to accomplish a moral lifestyle that God approves of. Okay? But this is what I want to get to. And just for a few moments, we're going to touch it and leave it. All right? Watch this. It says, the first of verse 2 says, receive us. Watch this. So when you cleanse yourself of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and you perfect holiness in the fear of God, the next line, the next word says, receive us. Watch this.
Go ahead.
This word receive, this word receive literally means to allow us passage, to allow us a place, to allow us to enter. Watch this. It is to allow us a space that we can fill or occupy. Watch this. Many people will not receive the people of God because they notice that the people of God have not cleansed themselves of the flesh and spirit, and so they feel that the people of God are hypocrites.
I don't look to rebut what you just said, but I want, as if we were in a court of law, I want to stand up and cross-examine what the defendant has just said about the plaintiff, you know?
Okay.
Anybody that wants to jump in, because this ain't all about me. I'm just going to sit there and put something out there. You sit there and call us hypocrites. So if we're hypocrites, what does that make you? You have no relationship with God. You have no knowledge of God except that he is your creator. That's all you have. You have nothing else. Why are you going to sit there and try? You don't want me to judge you. Sinner, you don't want me to judge you, but yet you want to pass judgment on me. Now who's the hypocrite? Hello.
All right.
Your Honor,
that was good.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
All right.
Come on. Anybody else want to say something on that? Anyone else?
I concur with what he just said. That makes plenty of sense to me, because we being believers, we all going to judge each other no matter what. We say we don't want to, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't think it's actually judging, because if I see my brother or my sister doing wrong, ain't that my responsibility to say something?
You are your brother's keeper, aren't you?
Isn't that my responsibility to say something? You're doing wrong.
Yeah.
That's not me.
And
judging.
If you don't, you know
something, Sister
Robinson, if I don't say anything, then that makes me, what's the word when you, they make you, they say you part of the crime. What's the word? It begins with the letter C. An accomplice, yes.
That makes me wrong,
and I just look the other way. I'm an accomplice.
Right. I'm an accomplice.
I'm an
accomplice to your sin.
There you go.
I read a scripture that says, neither be partaker of any man's sin.
Uh-huh. And when you close your mouth, what are you doing?
So in actuality, you are forbidden from letting them do wrong and not saying anything about it.
And
I want to tell you something real quick.
If you say something and they tell you to mind your business, the blood is no longer required on your hands, neither is it your responsibility, because you said something and they told you to mind your business. You know? So, I mean, you know, it. Oh man!
There was a preacher who had another preacher friend, right? And the one preacher said, "You know, I'm engaged to this young lady, and I'm really attracted to her." So I need you to help me not to get myself caught up. So he said one night he was over the young lady's house, his fiance's house, and he said he was there. And they were sitting up there together with each other, and said that the other preacher friend called him and he didn't answer his phone. But he knew where the fiance lived, and said he went to the fiance's house and rang the doorbell. There was no answer. So he knocked on the door. There was no answer. He went to the back door, knocked on the door. There was no answer. He went to the window, knocked on the window. There was no answer. So he stood in the middle of the road and began to call his friend. And he said, "Hey, friend, hey, get out of there. Remember, you said that you want to do what's right beside God. So come on, get out of there. I know how you're feeling, but don't do it. Don't do it. Get out of there. I'm going to stay here until somebody opened the door." And he kept staying there. He kept staying there. And finally, the young man, the preacher, came outside. He had every bit of clothing on. He was mad at his friend, but he was yet grateful because his sin was holding him accountable. Wouldn't it be good if believers today would hold one another accountable instead of accusing one another, instead of abusing one another, instead of entertaining one another and amusing one another and confusing one another? Wouldn't it be good if believers would hold one another accountable? I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Anybody with me on that?
I'm with you on that.
Go ahead. I got something to say on that. I think
that's when you are a true sister. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I've been knowing Chanel for over 20 years. She'll be knowing when I'm wrong, and I know you guys will too. So I want you guys to, you know, hold me accountable when I'm wrong. So that means don't just tell me, oh, yeah, it's going to be all right, and knowing that I'm wrong. So I agree.
Well, no, and let's go a little deeper than that. I thank you for scratching the surface, but you got a lot more than that, Dr. Robinson. We're going to pull it out of you tonight. The bottom line is simply this. I kind of like the story you just told because here there's a dual meaning to that story.
Right.
The dual meaning is on the outside, it looked like he was saving his friend, but on the inside, he might be jealous because his friend's about to get a sweet taste of honey and he ain't got none. Okay, that's just my opinion. But well, you know, if I ain't getting none, neither are you.
You ain't getting
but
none
I said,
either.
But now listen, I said that for this reason, because mentality that we sometimes take as believers, you know, if I ain't got none, you ain't getting none either. Why don't you just turn around and just be honest with what you're saying? I mean, if I had turned around and, all right, I'm going to throw something out there, and I hope you ladies are not offended. I pray you're not, and if you are, please don't hesitate to speak up. I'm sitting there entertaining two beautiful young ladies. I have a wife. I have to let you know that. So those of you listening by radio, this is hypothetical, so don't get stupid on me. Anyway, I'm entertaining two young – matter of fact, I'm entertaining April, May, and June. Okay, all three of them.
Okay.
And you just happen to come over, and, you know, another guy happens to come over, and you're both saved, and we're supposed to be accountable one to another. I don't need you to jump in the fire with me. Pull me out. Because it won't be long before April will be on May, and April and May will be on June, and I'll be on April, May, and June if you don't pull me out of the fire. I don't need you to jump in the fire with me. I'm just saying. But this is what we do as believers. We jump in the fire. It's going to be all right. God knows your heart. Everything's going to be just fine. I know. I mean, you just had a weak moment. That was it. You just had a weak. Oh, my Lord. You were dealing with that? And she got a friend, too? Oh, man. Go, get out. Just get out. Just get out. No, just get out. That's it. Just get out.
Well, you know, there was a group that once said, friends, how many of us have them? Friends, the ones we can depend on, let's be friends. Okay, but look, let me get back to this. This is your fault. So
right.
It says,
I'll take the blame.
Receive us. It says, receive us. So imagine a lot of people do not receive another believer because they find something wrong with another believer. It's hard for you to receive me if I just cussed you out.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for you to receive me if I just got through drinking some alcohol. It's hard for you to receive me if I got a joint in my hand.
Okay.
It's hard for you to receive me if I've got a nasty attitude. It's hard for you to receive me. And so here's the reality. Many people, especially preachers, they're not being received. Why? Because there are people who see something that don't look right.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. There are people who are seeing something that don't look right. When you look like the world, you act like the world, and you smell the world, I don't care how much a senior you say, Your mindset is that pastor is still in the world. And that's what the text is really telling us when it says receive us. Because watch, because the only way somebody going to receive you is that they really see the holiness of God in you. So watch this. There's these three things, and I'm going to let it go. It says, here are three reasons that you should receive us. First of all, it says, we have wronged no man. I want you to understand that word wronged really means that we have not injured anybody, or we haven't been an offender, either morally, socially, or physically. We haven't done unjustly or wickedly to anyone. We haven't violated them by according to the laws or hurt them. We haven't done some kind of sin in any kind of respect. So this is what this text is saying. If we haven't done you unjust, if we haven't sinned against you in some respect, if we haven't injured you, there should be no reason why you can't receive us. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Anybody there? Come on. We're almost finished. They left me hanging. Okay. But this is what the text is saying.
You don't want to leave you hanging. We didn't leave you hanging.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Now I can hear you. You are muted.
Okay. No, I wasn't muted. The area that I'm in at points in times, it's almost as if it fades or faints. But I got you now.
Oh, well.
But go back to saying what you were saying. I saw bits and pieces. Just give me the gist of it, and I can respond to it, I promise you.
The gist of it, it says, receive us. We have wronged no man. That word wrong means we haven't sinned in any respect against you. We haven't injured you. We haven't done it. So you should receive us. Come on, talk to us. Okay, he went into another dead spot again.
No, I got you. No, here's the question. Basically, Paul is saying, in essence, we've done nothing wrong. We've been upright in your presence and in the sight of Almighty God. There is no reason under the sun for you not to accept us for who we are. There's no reason under the sun for you not to receive us, not to believe in the God in us. There's no reason. Receive us. Stop acting like we come in to steal your money. Let's talk modern day terms. You all right? Is that all right with you, Apostle? Let's talk modern day terms. Okay? Here we are. Stop coming and trying to preach me under the pew and then try to milk me like a dairy cow when offering time comes around. It's not that kind of party, my friend. That's not what we're trying to do. We have a responsibility to deliver the unadulterated, uncompromised word of God. And it's not going to be comfortable on a lot of occasions. You won't receive and accept because first and foremost, you have a fear of truth. That's number one. Number two, you have a fear that somebody's going to make you look smaller than you actually are. And last but by no means least, you don't want your friends to say you've been punked. Can I stop there?
Okay.
Anybody else? Nobody else?
Ladies,
come on.
Y'all got something.
What?
I feel it in my
well, you guys.
Up. Thank you.
Well, you guys have said it all. I mean, you
this
have
ain't
to
no
be
Budweiser
real.
This ain't no Budweiser commercial. Come on, you got to. This ain't no Budweiser commercial. You have said it all. No, go ahead.
You have
anyway.
Said it all. You have to be real with yourself. Self has to be real with each other.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. I'm so happy you said that. I am.
Why?
I really am. You know why? Too many fakes and phonies out there. Fakes and phonies in college. pimps in the pulpit. I'm gonna leave that alone.
We got a lot. We definitely have a lot of pimps in the pulpit. But I think my friend wants to say something. What were you about to say?
Why you doing on me?
Because
I thought
you were
finishing
it.
Apostle Whitlow.
Ooh, okay.
Apostle
here we
Whitlow.
Go. But anyways, I can
wait
continue.
Wait a minute. Apostle Whitlow, I got one for you, sir.
Yeah.
I got one for you. And I'm going to let you know there's pimps in the pulpit, and I see that there's people, there's punks in the pulpit, and I'm going to pass it over to my friend.
Stop it.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
That's exactly
I did not do that.
Did.
No, I did
but that,
not.
Sister,
that
sister
was not
Will,
even on
a,
my
that's,
mind.
That's,
you guys,
that's an
you guys
inside
got
joke.
Your, yeah, you got your stuff in the gutter. That's all that is.
Ain't no stuff in no gutter. You just pass it over
yeah.
to your friend. That's exactly what you did. Just left her out there for dead. Treated her like Gilligan's Island. Now sit right there. No, go ahead.
What am I going to do? Oh my goodness, Apostle! You see what you did to these people.
Yeah. Okay, me, still okay. I have done no wrong. Receive him.
Receive him.
Oh my
now,
goodness.
Now, can I say this? I want to do a cheap plug, if I can. Somewhere down the line, I want us to start something called Clubhouse and make that the aftermath of some of these shows where we can go and we can really, really hash out and burn this thing to the ground with some rawness. Because I realize we're on radio, and I so appreciate you, Dr. Robinson, for Blog Talk and what Jerry Royce is doing with you and the whole 20 yards. But we need a real raw place where we can get down to the nitty-gritty. When I say down to the nitty-gritty, we're going past the surface, okay? We're going to
I don't know
core.
Why we can't get down nitty-gritty now, so do it.
Because if I get down now like we talking, half the audience is walking away, I promise you.
Well,
maybe.
Well, that's not – that's well, maybe – I really believe that if you're not real, they're going to walk anyway, so – either way,
well,
I really believe in rawness. That's one thing I really believe that's why we're losing a lot of people, because some people are tapping around the surface or around the topics, and
some
we have
people,
to be real with ourselves.
Do that fluff. Some people give you that fluff.
Right.
Oh, right. I like
because
that.
Because they're afraid to show you who they are. Because because again, you might, they saying, okay, you're going to judge me if I say this. So I'm going to fluff it. But that's not what I meant. This is what I really meant. Because they fluffing. A lot of people do that all the time.
They fluff it. They fluff it.
They fluffing.
They fluff. Oh, my.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, there is another word, but we'll accept fluffing because there is another one. I could throw faking in there, pretending. I mean, I could pull a bunch of words out, and then I could just throw a street slang out there and let you fill in the blank. They full of type,
but,
yeah. Pie from the help.
Yeah, that pie.
That pie. I'm sorry.
These are real. That unfortunately many people, many believers are afraid to deal with. And again, so look at our subject tonight, receive us. Why would someone choose to receive us if we don't choose to be real with them? Because that becomes the issue.
Good question.
You know what?
Is it possible we're not making a proper presentation? You know what I mean when I say that? Think about this. I'm going to try to win you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in the club with you. I got my Tangeray and ginger ale in my hand. I'm dancing to Parliament Funkadelic or whoever's playing at that time. I'm bumping and grinding on the slow jams. But I'm going to witness to you, and you just witnessed that I had a thorough, unchristian-like experience. How much of a winner do you think you're going to get out of deal? Well, I'm saying. I'm just being real.
I'm going to say, even though that happened, because I have experienced some
incidents where
that...
You're not supposed to tell where we've been, Chanel. Oh, man. You don't get it.
I'm just saying, I have experienced some of those. And the reason why is because even though I'm doing all of that, the Holy Spirit is still with me because my intent is right.
Well, I'm going to slightly challenge that. I'm not saying he's not with you. He's probably by this point grieved with you if you're participating in the festivities. And he's not dwelling, he's not going to be in a place that's going to cause to be a compromise. I'm just saying, generally speaking, and I'm not thoroughly disagreeing with you, I am just slightly disagreeing with you. And when I say slight, there are places the Holy Spirit is, you going by yourself because the Holy Spirit ain't going there. There are places. I mean, I don't do a strip club. I can't tell you anything about a strip club. I don't have a clue how they – I know how they dress when they go in, some of them, but I don't know how the majority of them are. One thing is for sure, a strip club is not my cup of tea. End of story.
Okay.
Now, somebody else might have the struggle of their life if they go in a strip club. You don't ever want to go back to something that go of in the beginning because you have to build a sense of strength first. That makes sense?
It does.
Hello?
But just like I said, I have witnessed some things where, just like I said, people have pulled people from the strip club.
Yes. And I'm not saying
so,
that don't happen.
So it has happened. And it's... And also, it deals with the person that is receiving the message because they were
now,
ready.
I could throw two more things in on that. Just as they're able to pull somebody from the strip club, they could be pulled into the strip club. And then there are those times when you go in and you got the right message, the anointing's upon you, the whole 20 yards, and, you know, you go in there with the intent to pull the person out. That person's intending on pulling you in. And a person that neither one of you gave any credence to suddenly wants to know more about what you're talking about. Wow. That's all I'm going to say.
Here's what I want you to focus on. This thing says receive us. So you figure, I don't know if you've ever, let me say it this way. The Lord says, I send you to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, and if you go into the city, if they do not receive you, depart from that city, take your peace with you, and kick the dust off of your feet.
That's the word.
Because they didn't receive you. So here's what Paul is saying. Receive us. Now, when he says receive us, he has a company of others who are with him. And they are saying there's a certain way that we live that is not offensive. There's a certain way we live that's not injurious. There's a certain way that we live that gives you every reason to receive our gift. Some people cannot receive your gift if they feel like you have violated them. And so this is what we're really trying to expose, that many of these preachers, their ministries are not growing because people have been violated by them. Many ministries cannot go any further because the people feel like they've been violated. But right. Apostle Paul, he makes it clear that when we have cleansed ourselves or from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, and we've been perfecting holiness in the fear of God by terminating that which doesn't please God in our life. He says, you have no excuse that you cannot receive us. He says, because we have not wronged you. But not only that, he says, we have corrupted no man. When he says corrupted, he's really saying we have done, we not only have we not violated you, but what he's saying is we haven't tried in any what way to destroy you or defile you in the slightest degree. We have not tried to damage you. We have been a guardian to you. We have not neglected our duties. There are some people who they feel like their pastors have neglected them. I know people now, they will tell you, when I was out of service for a month, the pastor didn't even call me. They felt that they've been corrupted, that somebody has neglected them. Wouldn't you feel the same way? Well, would you not? They went to get coffee and didn't even invite me? Dr. Kinney? Anybody?
Yes, hello? I am here. I'm here, yes.
No. See, you gotta understand, Apostle. I know you don't sit down and listen to yourself that often, but sometimes you'll say something that makes a person go, hmm. And you're thinking, and you forget that you're on air for that split second. That's all that's happening. I mean, you know, the comments, this whole discussion is profound, and to me, it's relevant for the day because here we are as leaders and in the fivefold ministry, yet we're being ostracized, we're being criticized, we're being kicked around, treated like dirty old nasty carpet. You know, but Paul did say we are as a sheep is dumb before its shearer. And not only is talking about Jesus in Isaiah, but over in Romans, he's actually talking about us, you know, being before the people as sheep is before this shearer. We only know Jesus Christ. The bottom line is this, without going through a whole lot of rigmarole and adding extra stuff just to make it sound good and putting perfume and cologne on it, let me just put it to you in this one little saying. When we make a decision to move forward and completely trust the Lord of our salvation to bring forth the manifestations that we are in need of, it is at that point that the obstacles come. And as you graduate and move forward and mature in all that you're doing, you'll begin to look back over what once caused you to fall and you'll laugh in the face of it. Enemy hates me. I could tell. But my foot's acting stupid, so let me get the hammer and beat it down. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Apostle.
Dr. Kimmy, come on, what you got to say?
Well, I want to say that you must continue on, focus on the man. You're going to, as we walk daily in this life, you're going to fight against each other, the flesh and the spirit, on a daily basis. And that's why God says that we must continue on focusing on him, his ways, so that when the enemy come, we know how to fight. And one of the reason it's important to have like scriptures in your bosom and to know the word and to know who you are is because the enemy, he'll come and leave, but he'll come again. So that's, it's important that you know who you are in the Lord. And so that's why it's good to find scriptures and find people that you can also fellowship with and have a prayer buddy. And, I mean, it's a daily life. It's something that you don't graduate. It's an ongoing process. And I tell people, the more responsibilities that you have in the Lord, the worse the burden will become. And so that's true. I mean, much is given, much is required. And I really believe that when you are sold out for the Lord and you know who you are, you can continue on focusing on him. And no matter what comes your way, you're going to stand tall because God has given you that strength in the Holy Spirit. Because who can touch the Lord? Who can touch Jesus? No one. And so when you know who you are and whose you are in him, you can stand. And that's one thing I like about Psalms 1. Yeah, you can stand no matter what type of weather you are facing. Because the enemy knows how to get you. And so that's why it's important that when you are in the midst of the battle, you allow God to fight for you. Because really, we don't really have to fight the battle. The battle is giving
it's already been won.
To the Lord. Yes.
It's already yes. been won. But we don't know any better. I got to help Jesus out. Take that, devil, and you take that. I'm going to hit you. This is what we do. I'm going to hit you.
I'm not messing with him. I'm not messing with him. He's too powerful
listen,
for me.
This is the mentality of the some of members
yep,
of the
right.
body. You know?
Right.
Yep.
We get fraidy scared and punkish in a time when we need to be bold.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, here it is, and I'm going to say this one last thing, and I'm going to back up because I know we're pretty close to the end of our time. Well, we got a few minutes. We'll turn around, and we think we got a lion's roar, and all you can hear is a cat's meow. What kind of nonsense is that? You're talking about, ride. Get your, look. Oh, God, I'm going to get in trouble for this. They're going to kick me off the airways. If you're going to
no,
be a lion, be a lion.
Down.
Stop. Yeah, they're going to kick you off. Stop acting like a pussycat. That's all I was going to say. I got issues.
Let me put this up tonight because
we
you,
all do.
We just prayed. But listen to this. Here's what it says. It says, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I really believe.
Don't go nowhere. Apostle, stop. Don't go anywhere. We have done what? What was that last one? Defrauded no man?
That's what it says.
Apostle, I want to ask you a question. Has anybody ever, when you pulled up to the church in your brand new Cadillac, accused you of stealing the church's money?
I've never had a Cadillac for them to accuse me. So no, that's never
well,
been an
I've
issue.
Had, yeah, I've had three of them, and trust me, you're just stealing the church's money. Oh, I'm stealing the church's money. So wait. Now where am I at right now? I'm in the middle of what state is this? I think this is North Carolina. I'm in the middle of no man's land in North Carolina. But I don't stole the church's money. I guess the church is on wheels now, huh? I'm just saying.
Well, they got meals on wheels. Why can't the church be on wheels?
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
But we have defrauded no man. In other words, what it's saying is we haven't tried to get an advantage.
Manipulate.
It's saying we have not tried to get an advantage. That's what he's saying. We haven't tried to take advantage over any believer. That's what he said. Mm. He says, receive it. In other words, he's saying we didn't come after your money. He said we didn't come after your honey.
Uh-huh.
Hello? That's what he's really saying. He said, none of that. Come for your possessions. We ain't come to take your position. Receive us. We just genuinely here to give you
to be in service.
What God gave. That's all.
Yes.
That's the only reason we came.
That's it.
That's all.
That's it.
Receive
us. You sitting there trying to act like I'm trying to take something from you. Anybody want your old raggedy car? Keep it.
People have a hard time with this. And the only reason they have a hard time with it is because their motives, their intentions have been wrong.
Yes. Say that.
Because be wrong. They expect everybody else to be wrong.
Say that.
But all Apostle says here is receive us. And so somebody's listening tonight. And here's what we're saying. We're saying receive us. We're not out for your hurt. We're not out for your harm. We're not out to break up your family. We're not out to take over your business ideas. Receive us. That's why we're here. Receive us. We haven't done anybody wrong. We haven't corrupted anybody. We haven't used our gift for gain. We haven't robbed you of the truth of God's word. We haven't robbed you of your faith. We haven't robbed you of what you got from your Mega Millions and your Powerball. We haven't robbed you of your lottery tickets. We haven't done any of that. All we're saying is receive us. This is what the apostle was saying. Receive us. You don't have a reason to reject us.
That's
all I wanted to share. That's all I wanted to share tonight. Anybody have any final thoughts on tonight? Final words? Anybody?
I just want to say, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And this is to those who don't understand the walk. The walk is very simple. Basically, this life is too tough, and I know I cannot handle my own life. And so when you give it over to the Lord, you will see things will come into play. You'll see clearly. You won't be the same. And, it's really tough out here. And I really believe that when you have enough of the same stuff, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I just, recommend you Jesus, because he is the best thing that ever happened to me. And so I love this topic. I love all the podcasts. One thing I do love about everyone who plays a part at Elation Radio, they're genuine, but they make it fun, You can have fun in the Lord. You really can. And so I just want to say that it's so much nicer to know who you are in the Lord than not to know.
Amen. Anyone else with final thoughts?
All right, go ahead, Sister Chanel. I'm not throwing you under the bus either.
Tammy said it all. She said it all. I would concur. I pass it on.
Now I understand how the men's Olympic team lost that relay race. Somebody didn't have the baton. Anyway. Receive us. And I know we talked about Paul sharing with the Corinthian church. Here we are as servant leaders of the Most High. And we're just saying to you, the general public, we don't want to be on a pedestal. We don't want you to treat us like we're more important than you. We just want to do the job God called us to do and be amongst our brethren as one in the number, respected by those with whom we have to do with. Receive us. We're not gods. We're not millionaires. We're not major league, high-profile televangelists, radio evangelists, and people of that nature. We're plain old ordinary people that have extraordinary gifting by the Holy Spirit. Receive us. We eat, sleep, drink, poop, and pee like you do. Receive us. God called us to instruct you, to equip you, to go into all the world to preach the gospel. Receive us. You need training. Receive us. That's all I'm going to say, sir.
Amen. Amen. We thank you tonight for tuning into The Voice. I have been blessed tonight to stand in for Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith in his stead, and we pray that all is well with him and we believe he will be back with the help of the Lord next Tuesday night, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central. That would be 7:30 Pacific. Amen. And he would say, in his words, he would say that if you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead. God's got something better and greater waiting for you. All we wanted to say tonight is receive us. That's why we're here, to give you what God gave to us. Dr. Timmy, do me a favor and spit that track. You know how it goes. Y'all be blessed. Shalom. Shalom.
Wow.
I'm just an ordinary person, living life on the edge of expectation. Ever since my life took on a new direction, I've been living life contrary to condemnation. Because God, you had mercy